Hi, Eddie here. Red and I have used Zencastr to record all of our episodes of Punk Rock Elite because it's easy, browser-based, and it gives us separate tracks that are easy for me to edit. It can also be used for 4K video too. Maybe we'll try that one day. It's really easy to use. It can do a lot of the editing for you, clipping out your ums and ahs, and adding an EQ to bring out the best in your voice, all from a single website. If you want to make a podcast but aren't sure how to go about it, then Zencastr provides everything you need to record, edit, and distribute your new show to Spotify, Apple, and a ton of other places that people get their podcasts. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code PUNKROCKELITE, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Punk Rock Elite, a podcast about NoFX. Well, it's nice to get out of the house every once in a while, isn't it?
Yeah, we'd like we beat our agoraphobic personalities, and we've been out in the world.
I mean, I think this is literally the first time we've discussed NoFX face to face in the real world since doing this, because you know we have NoFX chat at home,
and we were at a festival where there were quite a few NoFX t-shirts dotted about.
There were, yes, absolutely. That's when us, the Punk Rock Elite podcast, nearly gave ourselves a title there instead of just the title of the show, which is me, Eddie French.
And me, Red Redmond.
We were at Manchester Punk Festival the whole weekend.
Like we stayed and watched bands. We weren't like complete old fogies. We didn't leave too early.
No, not too early. No, we did leave early, but not too early. It was unfortunately we hadn't arranged anywhere to actually stay in the city, and because it was Easter weekend, that was the only drawback to Manchester Punk Festival this year, was that it was Easter weekend, which meant that any chance of staying anywhere that you had to pay for was going to be three times the price.
Well, also, because we were lucky enough to have been booked on the podcast stage on the Friday, as well as the comedy stages on the Saturday and Sunday, it meant like a full weekend. So we opted for our own beds.
Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't have minded if it had been a hotel or something, but then, you know, I spent, you know, the previous weekend I spent 3 days or three nights in Glasgow. So, you know, I was already like, oh, I just don't live at home at the weekend now. This is my new life. But I thought I'd become too decadent.
Understandably, you know, like performing at the comedy stage of the Manchester Punk Festival is, hey, we are paid, but it's not like the big payday where we're like, oh, I know, let's get a hotel and room service. And
no, we're not entertaining hot water money. That's not what's going on here.
Hot water music or hot water comedy?
Either, to be honest. We are dealing with one room in Sandbar in Manchester, which is which is lovely, but is not the same thing at all. That's what happened. So we threatened it. It was really, really odd, because the day we recorded the episode, I think it was like the day we announced some sort of episode of the podcast as well.
Okay.
It was sort of near enough to the day, pretty much just about a year since we started releasing the podcast, and we were doing our first live show at Manchester Punk Festival, which, if you've been listening since day one, or if you've been listening since day now, thank you. You're part of the reason that this has happened, which is just bonkers.
It's been like so wonderful to meet like so many listeners over the weekend, and to meet some new listeners. And we were really blown away by like the reception of the live episode. We had a great audience in.
We did.
Really receptive. I'm pretty happy with the recording we made. Like, I think it was touch and go whether, you know, a live recording would make it 2-hour podcast release, but I think we're happy with it.
No, it sounds good. What it is live recording from our microphones ourselves, mm-hmm. and then a sort of a second recording that just recorded the room. So you could hear audience responses, hear some audience comments and stuff like that. It is not the stellar quality that you'd expect because we only had so much, you know, and also it was a busy working bar where there was only one room that was being used. So there is some background chatter you can hear at times that's coming from outside of the room that we were in. It was not a soundproof thing. But everything comes through loud and clear. It sounds very good. I've not really edited any of it. So all of our ums and ahs and clicks and ticks and pops are all there. So maybe people will realize what the pre-recorded episodes could have sounded like if I was lazy about this. So there you go. That's it's going to be in compare and contrast. But it's been very good. Have you been up to much since the festival or you just... No.
Back at work, nothing exciting, just like ran a comedy club last night, which went very well.
Which one was that, Leadmill or...
Leadmill and then my Doncaster show as well.
Oh, it's on the same night, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, same night. First Wednesday of every month in Doncaster and Sheffield. Mm. And they both went great. All of the acts were brilliant, a lot of fun to hang out with. Lou Conran's an exceptional MC. If you've not seen Conran perform, she's, I don't know, just outstanding. She's does tour support a lot for Sarah Millican, but she's a wonderful comic.
Good. Yes, that's cool. I've been just thrown back into making wardrobes again. So nothing fun or interesting about that. I say fun. Sometimes it's a bit fun. It depends. Sometimes you pull up at the house and you go, this is a big house. The coffee here will be pleasant. You go, this is a small house. If it's a young person, the coffee here will be pleasant. It's how you work it out, yeah. It's if it comes back and it's got those sort of nice light brown bubbles on the top of it, you go, oh, pleasant.
Yeah.
And if not, look, I'm not turning my nose up at any free coffee that anyone gives me. They don't have to, and that's fine. But it's always nice to have the nice stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a day goes by we don't get a new submission, or we don't receive the final mix from a band who is on the Punkin' Drublic tribute album that we are organising. And Red and I, along with Tom and Nihilism from the Midlife Punk podcast, we've got a little Dropbox that we share, and we get to go through them at our leisure and see what people have done for us. And it's super exciting. It's becoming a thing, you know.
Yeah, like we're really happy with the quality of all of this. None of it is amateurish. It's all very well mixed, very well played and performed and arranged.
Yeah, it's a proper thing that people have done, and we are really, really pleased. There's been minimal drop outage, so, you know, that's great as well. And I believe we're in talk with at least one record company who might help in releasing this, because we don't know how to do that. That's the only bit we don't know how to do. We know how to ask people to give us songs. That's super. That's as easy as it sounds. And we know how to wait for those songs, but actually turning this into a product sounds gross, but, you know, a physical media thing, that's the bit that we're not sure about. We could slap it on Bandcamp.
Yeah, of course.
And it would be fine, but we don't want fine. We want really great. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to do. We're looking for that. CDs and maybe even vinyl. We know how vinyl is a big thing these days, but we'll I think we have announced all of the acts who are going to appear on it, or we did on an Instagram post. That might not be totally accurate, is subject to change, but for the most part, absolutely spot on. So what were some of your highlights from Manchester Punk Festival, Red?
That's a great question. Obviously, really enjoyed King Prawn, but I've seen King Prawn before. Of course, sure. King Prawn are great.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with Noah and the Loners.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a band that neither of us were familiar with, but we kind of went in on a whim and really enjoyed it.
That was in Breadshed, which is just, I mean, it you could spit from Sandbar and it would hit Breadshed. We don't recommend doing it, but it was a punk festival, so we treated ourselves. We went in because we just, you know, the comedy had finished in Sandbar and we went, let's see what's over there. And it was Noah and the Loners.
But also, you know, huge shout out to friends of the podcast, Blagged, who were exceptional at Gorilla, even gave us a little shout out and played one of the tracks that will feature on the Punk and Dribble It compilation.
They did. They played their they've been on the podcast. They've already given away which song they're doing. They're doing Don't Call Me White, and they played it.
It was great.
Yeah, it was with no fanfare either. They dedicated it to us afterwards.
Yeah.
So it just started with Sarah just singing, "Don't call me white," and we're like, "No, that is insane." And the audience went off for it as well. They were delighted.
Yeah, it was great.
So it reminded us that there are no FX fans out in the world. We knew that because some of you listen, but you know, it's it can feel lonely. I think you even make a point of there's a point in the episode we're about to hear where Red says, "Speaking as a no FX fan," we're like, "Motherfucker, why are you pointing this shit out?" And you're like, "Sorry, I'm just so used to pointing that out, you know, because no one else is. So being in a room full of them was weird," yeah, which made me laugh.
But it was great to meet, like, so many fans of the podcast. You know, like, Guy was really cool to catch up with.
Shout out
my
promotion.
Apologies, I've forgotten the name of his partner. Do remind me over a DM or something.
We mentioned a Dictionary Corner in the episode. That's who Dictionary Corner was.
Yes.
So as far until we are made fully aware of their name, then we're going to be referring to them as Punk Rock Susie Dent.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Thank you to Guy and Punk Rock Susie Dent. I was with them for King Prawn.
Oh, cool, yeah. Yeah, no, that was... I was by myself holding a Bakewell slice. But, you know, they have... every year they have the Tea Time Collective who provides catering for the bands. The bands basically get sort of a free... And they usually do like a burger or a hot dog or, you know, that kind of thing. It's all vegan stuff. All the catering is fully vegan. So I went up and then I saw they had a load of like cakes and stuff. And I was like, oh, so you finally figured it out. That's how you destroy me. Yeah. And I thought they'd give it to me like a little paper bag. And I have sizable pockets on the inside of my jacket. But no, gave it to me like a cardboard chip box. Too big, so I had to just stand there holding it. Fine. Let me see. Highlight for me. Who did I... that Cat Bite was wonderful.
Yeah,
great. Cat Bite was super, super fun. Yeah, they were really, really good. Enjoyed them a lot. Acid Snot, brilliant name. Yeah, I liked them a lot too. They were very metal-y in that they were very riffy, super melodic and stuff. Bit like sort of strung outy, propaganda-y kind of vibes, which I'm very, very fond of. They were good fun. I believe they're from Barcelona.
Cool.
Well, certainly Catalonia. Great stuff. But yeah, Cat Bite were tremendous fun.
Yeah, really,
really great. Live, they are absolutely superb. I'd not seen them live before. I enjoyed their records. But live, they're one of those bands where their records are great, but they've not quite captured them, how fun they are, how exciting they are live.
Yeah, I've been listening to some of their stuff, and I'm like, oh, they are much better live. Like, it's good stuff on the album. I don't know what it's lacking, but like live, they are fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that is not an issue exclusive to Cat Bite. That's lot of bands suffer that. And again, the albums are recorded well, the performances are good, everything about it is great, but it's just missing that little bit of what the French call I don't know what. We've teased them for long enough.
Yeah.
So let's go straight. Let's go now to the episode recorded live on Easter Sunday. No, it was on Good Friday. On Good Friday at Sandbar in Manchester. This was recorded at, 1:30 in the afternoon?
Sure. Yeah, it was.
One in the afternoon, so people hadn't really started getting on it yet. This is like people were like, okay, we've got a day off. It's no one goes to work on Good Friday over here. It's a bank holiday, or it was this year anyway. So people were like, okay, extra day, extra, and we don't go to work on good on Easter Monday either in the UK. That's a bank holiday too. So it was like a 4-day weekend, and people were trying not to get too crazy, you know, first thing and ruin it. So here we are. And oh, we should really point out what we were doing. It was hot takes.
Yes, of course.
Yes, that was what we decided to do. We decided to gather hot takes and discuss them between ourselves and with the audience. And we think it was pretty good fun.
Send in your own hot takes if you do have them.
Yes, absolutely.
Always interested to hear them.
Yeah. If you'd like us to talk about something else during the intro and outro, send us hot takes to discuss. We're happy to do that too. Or if we get inundated, we might do a separate, we might keep them for another separate episode. Because people have hot takes all the time, but when you point someone in the face and say, hot take, please, then sometimes the mind goes blank. You know, it's a common enough situation. So here they are. NoFX hot takes.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Welcome to Manchester Punk Festival, first of all. Yay! We are the Punk Rock Elite podcast, a podcast about NoFX, because the world was severely lacking, and we saw a really, really unlucrative market and dived in.
The nichest gap.
Yeah. Because if we've been doing this about a year now, and if there's one thing we've learned, it's not even NoFX fans like NoFX enough to listen to a podcast about them. So that's what we've done. I'm Eddie French.
My name's Red Redmond. Hello.
Yes, and so that's it. So, and welcome to Sharif Don't Like It. We're in the sandbar. In the sandbar.
I didn't know that we had to prepare jingles. I feel
I'm always be jingling. That's why I carry such heavy keys. I'm jingling. Has anyone here heard Punk Rock Elite? Anyone here absolutely unaware of what this is?
Fair enough.
Cool.
Understandable.
That's fine. You'll probably have a better time, in all fairness. So, yeah, we've spent a lot of time. We spent the last year talking about NoFX. The only person to talk about NoFX more has been Fat Mike. But, you know, it stops him to keep yammering on about dildos and drugs for a bit. So, you know, variety is the spice of life, not his. So... we have talked about lots of things. We've covered pretty much every major release they've done.
Yeah.
We are in the middle of a series talking about their reality TV show, because that's what punk bands need, isn't it? A reality TV show. Sure, it makes sense for them.
I just think that more punk bands should be making content. I think that's all...
Yeah.
That's what we all want. We want to see Pennywise on TikTok. I think that's... Is that what we want?
Yeah, the Pennywise. Who wore it better, Jim or the guy who was in the band for a bit, who seemed more happy about it? I want to be in the Bad Religion cosplay again. All right, Jim, come back. So there we go. That was a hot take, by the way, because that's what today's show is all about. We are discussing NoFX hot takes, or as I had to explain to a 50-year-old man on the computer, unpopular opinions is what they used to be called. now they're called... he complained that his teenager wasn't in, so he'd have to wait to find out what a hot take was. I think he thought it might have been a sex thing. and it could be. I don't know. I've not typed that into any of the seedier ones. So we've collected... So we have some of our own. If you have any of your own, we'll be asking the audience at some point. But we've collected some from Reddit, and we've sifted out the ones... that were anti-Semitic, and and we're going to discuss ones that were written in good faith, or better faith. Anyway, I don't think you can get anything fully in good faith. But we're gonna start with one from our Instagram. This is from Greg from the Unscripted Moments podcast. Which is about propaganda, which is where I stole the idea from. That's not bad at all. I thought, well, if Propaganda have one and the Bouncing Souls have one, and NoFX don't, that's mad.
I think that is genuinely how you pitched this to me.
Yeah.
Like, well, there is one about Propaganda, and I went, oh, okay.
Yeah. He seems to be enjoying himself, so, you know, this could be good. We inspired a podcast about Stuart Lee. The comedian, yeah.
You don't want that to be out in the public. You want to keep that to yourself.
Yeah. No, a friend of mine, he was like, oh, really? He likes NoFX. He was like, I realised that. Oh, well, there's one about NoFX, so just must have just looked around his room, looked at his DVDs, and went, oh, yes, Stuart Lee, I'll do one about him. I mean, if there was a worse set of fans than NoFX fans, he's chosen them right, so that's good. So, Greg from...
If you are a fan of NoFX and Stuart Lee, you are insufferable. And a lot like me.
I was the first guest on that podcast. So, thank you, Daniel, if you're listening. And he always does, so bless him. So, Greg from the Propagandy Pod, that's the Instagram one. Total Bummer is the only excellent, all caps, post-decline NoFX song.
When did Decline come out?
1999.
Wow.
Yep.
This guy, I mean... It's okay to just not like NoFX.
and to be honest, a lot of the time he doesn't, because he's very specific about what he likes. But yeah, basically, so does anyone agree that one song on Pump Up the Vallum, and I'll get shit for the way I pronounce that, but I'm going to carry on, Pump Up the Vallum is the only excellent song in the 21st century by NoFX?
Wow, yeah.
Okay, that was a pretty hot take, Greg.
I don't really remember the song Total Bummer. Right? Apparently it's on Pump Up the Vallum, right?
It starts off, go away, sunny day.
Oh, yeah,
what?
Sure.
What?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's not even the best song on the fucking record. It's like, what's this Dinosaurs Will Die shit? Oh, I like the one that's off. Brilliant, yeah. So
I like that got the groan of recognition that, you know, in like a pub quiz when there's like a question about Neil Diamond and your parents are there and they go, oh, it's Neil Diamond. And your parents go, oh, yeah, Neil Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
But you did that for Total Bummer by NoFX. Brilliant.
It's one that Mike really likes because he put it on his classical album.
Oh, okay.
So shit, that
classical album. What was that? Okay. Oh, sorry. Audience hot take starting now. What was that? His classical album is so shit.
Is this Fat Mike Gets Strung Out?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We actually haven't covered that on the podcast yet.
Not yet. No.
We need to.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What was it? Was it just you just didn't care for how it was done? For it didn't work, or?
I hate the fact that it's called Fat Mike Gets Strung Out. Do Strung Out covers?
Yeah. It was. It was so we could put a drug reference in it. Yeah. That was it. That's all it is. It's like, you know, heroin. He's famously the one of NoFX that does or did heroin is not him. That's the bit that annoyed me. But yeah, I don't know, because I have a CD from a million years ago called The London Philharmonic Plays Punk, and yeah,
what?
I bet on a Charlie Brooker TV show. I was like, what is that music in the background of one of these sections? And it was an orchestra playing Down in the Tube Station at Midnight by The Jam. And it's really good. And I found it on this album. And I went, well, I'll get that then. And it is literally the only good thing on it. Everything else is just sort of... I don't know if you're familiar with how monotonal some punk songs can be.
Well, yeah.
And they're doing that just on a cello, just like, no, 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 no. Oh, this is great. Yeah, I love it. It's really bad. And they're like, and then also some of them try to put like, little asides, you know, like a cheap holiday and other people's misery. They're trying to do that on a violin. It's like, that is speaking, you dick. You can't do that on a... Anyway.
Didn't the London Philharmonic Orchestra recently, as in like the last couple weeks, record a track with Cypress Hill?
Because
it was mentioned in an episode of The Simpsons. It's in like the
it's in the Lollapalooza one.
The Lollapalooza episode.
Homapalooza.
The Homapalooza.
Yeah.
But they've actually done it now in real life. So the whole Simpsons did it first meme is getting really out of hand at this point.
Although two members of Cypress Hill had to be reminded they were in The Simpsons. So I imagine anyway. Probably it. So, Greg, we love you, but apparently that is a really hot take. there's something a little more avuncular. God, this is a long comment now I think about reading it out loud. Lightweight 75, whose avatar is a picture of Slap Fat's cover, So El Jefe created the NoFX sound. It wasn't until he joined the band they started using three-part harmonies and melodies. His musicianship was far above anyone else in the band. His presence was the catalyst for all other members to improve their instrument playing skills. A rising tide lifts all boats. It wasn't until... Just putting little live, laugh, loves in there as well. That's good. A rising tide lifts all boats. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. It wasn't until after Hefe joined that Fatty's songwriting skills skyrocketed. In my opinion, El Jefe is the MVP. Actually, it says IMO. El Jefe is the MVP of NoFX. There's a lot of initials in that sentence. And then someone else has just put facts fire emoji. And then someone has come along pushing their spectacles up their nose going, there are three-part harmonies on Ribbed. Fat Mike complained Mr. Brett was making them sound too much like Bad Religion, in fact. Hefe is a beast, but he's not that accurate a statement. So that was Denim Radio. I mean, is that a hot take to say they improved after El Jefe joined?
No.
Exactly. Yeah. No. I'd say if anything, that's probably one of the most agreeable statements about NoFX that can be made. Really, isn't it?
Well, I actually.
It's true. It's good. It's, you know.
I because in the first couple episodes of this podcast, we quizzed each other about our favourite members of NoFX, our favourite songs, and things like that. And at the start, I think I was all about Melvin. But halfway through the podcast, we re-examined our answers, and I think I have changed over to Team Hefe.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, like, out of NoFX, have we got any fans of Hefe favourites in the room? Anyone who would call El Jefe their favourite in the band? Oh, silence. Okay. I thought that would be.
I'm really sorry, Hefe, but the 600 or 700 people with us. Oh, that's bad metrics, mate. Bad metrics. Let's just find out. Whose favourite is Fat... Smelly, all right. Whose favourite is Smelly? Just you? Okay, great. Fat Mike?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So Melvin, then?
Melvin
is overwhelmingly the most popular one, yeah. It's really, really strange, but he does... He seems to be someone who's lived a blameless life in spite of evidence of the blame things that he did in the book. Everyone's like, well, we'll let him off.
It was him that kind of got them banned from playing mainland America, right?
He did make the cancelling comment, but then Mike immediately said, hey, did you hear this joke that just happened? And then said it really, really loudly, and everyone went, Mike! Which is kind of funny. One more reply. Someone's gone. Someone's replied saying that was not a hot take, but let's take it a step further. NoFX, and they've added NoFX in this. They want NoFX to see this statement. NoFX was trash before Hefe joined the band.
What did they mean by trash? As in like
just trash?
Oh, trash.
Yeah. No,
oh,
no. Okay. No noun, not adjective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Was good. Yeah,
I think there's good elements, but I would agree that they are improved by the addition of Hefe.
They're also improved by practicing for 10 years, which is really, really what it took, wasn't it? You know, it's when did he join? 92 or something? They've been going like 8 years or something.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
it was difficult. So that's they're the oh, there's is there one on here as well? Oh, there's three comments on here. What could they be? see hidden comments. I'll send this to Reality Records. Sure. Lightweight 75 again, who is just the biggest fan. At Fat Mike Dude is a lyrical genius. The Vandals are the only punk band that comes close to NoFX when considering song lyrics. That's a hotter take for me than calling Fat Mike a lyrical genius, to be honest.
I think that's really specific, because like I think if you're talking specifically about funny punk songs,
yeah.
I think there's an argument to be made. But across all
Did you not laugh at My Orphan Year? I thought that was a letter like dark, but like funny. I don't know what it is. It's like Frankie Boyle or something, wasn't it? It was like really dark. But yeah, I mean, I think a handful of times, like the Vandals do stuff like, let's write a song about mullets. Like, and fine, yeah. Fill your boots, lads, go ahead. But yeah.
Yeah.
But is I've Got an Ape Drape lyrical genius?
No, but I've got. What's the. I've Got a Disproportionate Head definitely is.
Yeah. But, you know, that's because you're trying hard. That's like Weird Al levels of creativity. All right, fine. Did you have any, Red?
I did. What, from myself?
From yourself or from wherever you may have pulled them?
So I'm going to start with I think Smelly is too good for NoFX.
Wow, that has not been met with.
You know what? I will actually say, I think Smelly has been held back from being as good as he could be by being in NoFX.
I agree with your statement more than my own. I think you phrased it better.
However, I think he decided that he's okay with that.
Absolutely. I get the feeling that he's absolutely fine with all of his life decisions.
After a certain point.
Yes, after 6 years on dope. I think that's fair. What I'm finding quite interesting is when we did the podcast, I'd say 90% of the guests that we have on, we ask them who their favourite member of NoFX is, mm-hmm. and they all say Smelly. But then, when we were watching...
Maybe, they say Melvin a lot.
Oh, really? Do you think?
We get Melvins and Smellies. We've had a couple of mics, one Hefe, one Kent... Frank Turner chose Kent, their former manager and sound guy.
And Lily from the Mess decided to rank them all.
Yes.
In order.
Yes. Number one was Melvin Smelly and El Hef, as she calls him. And number four was Mike. And Karina chose herself. Karina Danique chose herself. Which is the correct answer, actually.
I was surprised when that guy said earlier, when Hefe came in, Hefe's far more advanced than the rest of the band in terms of musicality. And I suppose it depends how much musicality you think a percussionist has. But I think that Smelly has serious skill. And I think if you're talking about musical skill in the band NoFX, I think it's difficult to match Smelly.
That's a good take, actually, because, he mainly plays one style. He plays, mm-hmm. Even when he's playing ska, he's playing punk, really, isn't he?
Yeah, and absolutely.
But it works, I think. All right, that's cool. Do you have any others?
Or I do.
You do. I'm looking forward to this one.
NoFX is a shit name. It's a shit name.
It is.
It's. I understand, it's just four letters. Mm. It's easily... reproduced on things. I think I've heard the rumor they were called that because it was easy to spray paint or something like that. It was easy to tag on things. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I wish that my favorite band had a cooler name. I wish that when I told people my favorite band is NoFX, they didn't just immediately... if you don't know of them, your eyes just glaze over and you're like, I no longer
that's true if you
care.
Do know them as well sometimes.
Fair enough.
Saying they're one of your favorites really can sour a room.
I just wish they were called, I don't know...
The Rad Boys.
Jeff.
Jeff?
Yeah,
Of Birkenstocks fame.
Well, no, that song would be called No Effects, Where's Birkenstocks?
Yeah. Because they've got a friend called No Effects. I'm trying to think of... I've been adding my own as and when to that one, but we're moving into Reddit now, so
sure.
Cover up... Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on to your yarmulkes.
Yeah. So, son of a bitch, X must X pay. A sensible and good name for a sensible and good individual.
That was my mother's name.
Yes. Oh, of the Berkshire son of a bitch, X must X pay. Yeah. NoFX is doing this final tour as a way to make up for decades of only performing 25-minute sets by now performing 45-minute sets.
What now?
It's a cute statement, I've got to say. It's kind of funny.
One thing I will say is NoFX are not... booked to play 25-minute sets.
Yeah.
But sometimes Mike can't stop talking and they do end up playing 25-minute sets. But they will spread that out over at least a fucking hour.
Yeah. Yes, it's... we all know that one person who can, tell a really good 5-minute story over 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's sort of what they're doing with it, I guess. If they wrote longer songs, maybe it wouldn't be a problem. But yeah, I don't know.
I think when you saw them do headline sets, they would do quite long. But I understand if you've just seen them at festivals over the last 10 years, which is where I've seen a lot of their work, then, yeah, they are doing shorter sets. I've definitely seen them do, a half an hour set at Download. But that's... I don't know. I don't think that's usual. Do you?
No, I don't... I'm got to say, I think I find that take tepid at best. Sorry to upset son of a bitch, X must X pay. But But we'll move on to this is a hotter take.
Oh yeah.
Oi de King. Oi Dakin, I don't know. Wolves in Wolves Clothing.
Yeah.
Is their worst studio album in the period 1992 to 2020.
There is someone like nodding
really?
In the crowd. A violent nod over there in the crowd.
The smelly fan. You're not
I've heard this from other people as well. Would you do us a favor? Would you talk into this mic? I'll pass it to you about your views on Wolves in Wolves Clothing, because I've heard this from a few people. I don't understand the complaint myself. It's one of my favorite albums, but
no.
I feel like that, like no effects. You know, like you can like any of the albums. Any of the albums can be your favorite. Any of the albums can be your worst.
Okay, so there's lukewarm feeling regarding it.
Sorry, I am old. I'll start with the being old thing, but it's like muted. Even the sound of the album is muted and dull. The cover is dull. There's no big songs. I think the first song I heard off it was the Seeing Double at the Triple Rock.
Yeah. Which that was a single.
Which part of it? Straight away.
Not in the double time. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think that's
not
probably
in the double time,
yeah, I'm
that's
one of those boring true. People who like when people say they sound the same, every song sounds yes, that's what I like. I like it to all sound the same.
Right.
I like it to all be. I was trying to do the smelly drumming.
That's going to be wonderful to edit. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. What's your name, sorry?
Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
I do agree.
You agree?
Yeah,
okay, great.
Wow, fair enough. Right. And I've heard this from other people as well. There was someone who came up to us when we went to see Teenage Bottle Rocket a few months ago, and they were saying the exact same thing. Wolves is their least favourite era of NoFX. And they said, similar reason to yourself, they didn't think it had like the big singles on it. Like they're like, there's no big track that makes me want to listen to that album. And I kind of get that. Like I like the, I don't know. I think it's got lots of really good songs, but maybe not so many standout brilliant songs.
It probably isn't the one that the mind goes to when someone says a NoFX album. I guess, but yeah. there's some Leaving Jesus Lands on there.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely.
Great,
you know? You don't need to convince me. But
no, I'm rhetorically addressing you, because you're sat nearest me, and I don't want to look imploringly into the eyes of a stranger.
I agree with
that part of my life is gone.
I agree with the comments about the
album.
Not
true. I'm doing stand up here tomorrow. That part of my life is still very much alive. Yeah,
I do agree. The album artwork is a bit boring.
It is trash, yeah. That is bad, but for someone,
it goes with the music.
Oh, it goes with the music from the audience there.
I honestly don't agree with that. I really do like it. It does. I don't think it opens, but like I like 60%. But it,
yeah.
We talk a lot about the opening tracks and the strength of opening tracks on NoFX albums. Like even the first couple of records, which aren't great, the opening tracks are pretty good.
Yeah.
For the standard, and they open an album with a statement of intent, except Heavy Petting Zoo, where they went hobophobic. Will do, fine, whatever you want, lads. You know, if you fill your boots, it's your record. But yeah, I think it probably because it starts off slowly. It starts off with that. It doesn't hook you in until a bit later, and then they are a little more. They're not as heavy. The gain is way backed off on the guitars and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah,
it doesn't have as many. I mean, they do have some of the faster double drum beat, the double kick, or the double time kick. He doesn't use a double kick pedal. He's very, very strong about that. But things like the title track, Wolves in Wolves Clothing, it starts slow, but then when it kicks in with the Planet's Kidney Stones, boom, and then it goes into what I would consider to be classic NoFX.
Well, apparently you're wrong, Eddie.
Apparently I am.
So why don't you fucking leave?
Sure.
Please
well,
don't.
Well, we'll let's see if Drake Sucks reprise.
I'm so glad that's come around again.
Yeah,
I thought we were only going to end up with the original Drakes.
Drake Sucks, yeah.
Sucks.
Drake Sucks, but no, this is... that was, yeah, presumably the first bit of the album, then they did it at the end. Coaster was their last good album. It was
Ooh.
All downhill from there. Coaster is severely underrated. Two for one from Drake Sucks reprise.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to pass it over to our resident Coaster evangelist. It's your favourite.
I love Coaster.
Sure.
And I don't care who knows it. It's really fucking good. I'm going to ask for cheers if you like Coaster, and then a boo if you don't like Coaster. Give me a cheer if you like Coaster.
Yay!
Okay. Give me a boo if you don't like Coaster. Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, they
more
booed.
More favourable.
They booed, but they were not enthusiastic.
No, yeah, yeah.
So even the Coaster haters are lukewarm on it at worst.
I think there's some really strong stuff after Coaster. In fact, my next... This leads quite nicely into my next hot take. Because
oh, please.
My next hot take is similar in that I don't think they've made much worth listening to after First Ditch Effort.
Now, we are First Ditch Effort fans. Any First Ditch Effort fans in? Wow! Okay, really? Oh, I see.
Give us
the Transvestite song on it and you're all turfs. Oh, I see.
Give us a boo if you do not like First Ditch Effort.
Boo.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay.
So it's
Have
kind of
here
like
heard of NoFX.
I think
people are
indifferent to later NoFX.
I get it. People were indifferent to that one, I think, but I think people have been sleeping on it. I really do. That's mm-hmm. that's one of my hot takes. I think that one is the last little gem.
Yeah.
I've not been happy on the Ali Bryce and I were discussing this by text earlier. SA and DA, as we've been calling it, which presumably means our significant others will assume we've been discussing porn.
Well,
but,
GTA San Andreas as well. GTA SA.
Oh, beg your pardon.
So I'm just really into speed running. I'm a very lonely person.
Sure.
So.
So yeah, so
I didn't think we could get any more niche than a
NoFX
podcast.
No, we've been doing our best. We're really trying to just phase everyone out so we can stop doing this. But yeah, so I definitely don't agree with the Coaster one, and I think that First Ditch Effort is really really great, and I think that it's yeah, I think if people get past the production, I think once they lost the fat, this is my hot take. Once NoFX lost the fat sound of the 90s, the slap fats, the punk and droblick, that sound, people listened with their ears. They always do that, Eddie. What are you on about? People listened to the production first and the songs second and went, that does not sound familiar enough, and shut it down. That's my hot take.
Sure. Okay, yeah. I think that makes sense. Because I think also...
But it gives people no credit for being able to listen with any kind of...
There were songs like Sellout. That sounds different, and that's fucking great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sellout on single album, I believe. Or is it no, self-entitled?
Wolves.
Oh.
Oh, no, it's on self-entitled,
you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it's on yeah. self-entitled.
Yes. Yeah. God, that's a rubbish album.
But, like, that song is pretty great, and it's always, when we do discuss the album, I always say, I hate that album, but I like Sellout.
I like She Didn't Lose Her Baby. There's several songs on there that I like, but for some reason, that album is my hot take. That album is less than the sums of its parts. They've managed to put 10 songs on that are fine. Some of them aren't. 10 songs on that are overall okay and make the album...
You're already walking back your hot take.
No, the album is less good than some of the individual songs on there.
Has that got Birmingham on it?
No, that's single or double.
Well, fuck then.
No, it's got.
I don't like the last three albums.
It's got She Didn't Lose Her Baby. It's got. Sell Out. It's got. Oh, it's got Xmas Has Been X'd, which is.
Yeah,
which according to Z4_W4 NU DD00DD00, and I'm not saying that one again, even for laugh. Xmas Has Been X'd is a good song. That's their hot take. And to be honest, we can see a troll when we see it. So we're going to go for our last one here. So
Fat Mike actually wrote that one.
Yeah, Fat Mike wrote Z4W4. Are you doo doo? And yes, you are. Okay, so Code Wisher, who's dictating the format as well here. First topic of conversation. Someone, according to Code Swisher, I don't know, they don't allow punctuation. First topic of conversation, how long does it take to book 30 shows? They announced the breakup 2 years ago. Well, I don't know if Code Swisher has noticed the 40 cities, 40 songs.
I was gonna say, like, they've done a
lot
more.
The name of it, they're calling it 40. They're also saying 40 cities. They're not saying how many times they visit those cities over and over again, in fairness.
They've definitely, I think they've done more than 40 dates, right?
I think there's more than 40 dates booked in. I don't know if they've done more than that yet.
Right, sure.
They keep on going back there. they announced a breakup 2 years ago. I don't know. My hot take is I wish people would read it more. They're stopping touring, not breaking up.
But they ultimately
are breaking up, aren't they? Because the other three can't hang around and wait to not be paid while Mike prances around going, "Oh, I'm a stand-up comedian now." That's his desire voice.
If Fat Mike came to the UK and was doing stand-up comedy, would you go?
Wow.
Obviously, yes, and I would loathe every second of it.
Sure, but like this whole room full of there's one person nodding at the back who is dead up for it. Fair play, mate. It's just you and him.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
you and him
oh,
are going to go.
Maybe just to see what the fuck it's like.
Oh, yeah, I think I've found my new favourite stand-up.
Some people are considering it. I've seen clips, and I have decided not for me.
I've not seen clips.
I thought there were clips on YouTube. I thought I'd seen a couple bits.
There might be. I haven't looked. I know he said that...
He thinks he's Doug Stanhope.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've heard that's who got him into it, isn't it? Doug Stanhope's basically said, "Oh, yeah, of course you can do it."
Hey, wait a minute. We both killed our mums. Maybe we could both be comedians.
They did, didn't they?
They did both kill their mums.
Consensually.
Appropriately, in a way that we actually support.
They euthanised their mothers in a way that their mothers were okay with.
That's worth buying a ticket for.
That's worth buying a ticket for.
I think that was very much a one-off performance. Unless it's just the Fat Mike and the Mum show. Just goes around every single city. 40 cities, 40 mums. To be honest, that's what Blink-182's breakup thing is going to be. 40 cities, 40 your mum jokes.
Wow. But
yeah, I know. My hot take on that, no effects adjacent, is that Fat Mike can be very, very funny, but rarely is it when he's talking into a microphone.
He's funny accidentally, I would say.
No, he's like some of his lyrics are genuinely funny. Not the Stephen Hawking one, but you know or some of the other ones. But I think what he thinks stand-up is not. Because he said, I did stand up once. We went to me and his ex-wife. I'm talking as him, not me and his ex-wife. I'd have brought that up before. I can promise you that much. He and his ex-wife were like getting divorced. They were dividing all this stuff up. Not the records. That was a different wife. And then they went, "Hey, let's cheer ourselves up and go to the stand-up show." And they went to the stand-up show, and he went, "Hey, can I have a go at that?" And then he's like, "Hey guys, what's the deal with divvying up sex toys? Am I right?" And then he's like, "I want to do stand-up now forever."
So it kind of started with like, "Hey Mike, where do you want to go?" And he was like, "The stand-up show." "You want to go to the stand-up show?"
"Yeah, I want to be a stand-up." That's how he talks. That's Erin Micklow.
And
that's
then
how she
we
talks.
All cried.
We did cry.
Hello everyone, Eddie here. Red and I hope you're enjoying our show. If you have been and would like to help us make it a little more easily, then you can donate to us at our Ko-fi page, which is ko-fi.com/punkrockelite, or you can look in the show notes for our link tree. If you can't help us financially, we totally understand, but would love it if you spread the word to other people who would like this podcast. We thank you for your continued support. We massively appreciate it. Back to the show.
So, do you have any further hot takeage?
I do. I think this is my final hot take that I have written down.
Right.
I think that... I'm trying to work out how best to phrase this. I basically think...
Something Fat Mike has never done.
I love NoFX. They're currently my favourite band. It was briefly The Bronx, but now it's back to being NoFX. And... whilst I do love them, I love them with all my heart, there is a little bit of me that thinks they are as popular as they are and they are as like wide-reaching as they are due to capitalism. And
how else is one supposed to know about this thing, Red?
This is a long... It's not really a question or a hot take. It's more of a paragraph and an essay. but basically, like, because, like, they've... been, you know, like they've ran their own record label since they started. I think like that's obviously a big reason why they're as popular as they are. Like a lot of other band success has fed into their own success because other bands are releasing music through Fat Records. And they're a very industrious band. And I don't really think that you should hold all of these things against them. And I'm not someone who's like going to be mega gatekeepy about it. But just there's a niggle in the back of my head where I'm like, oh, we celebrate alternative music and alternative lifestyles, but at the end of the day, they are prospering off of, you know, you know, money-grabbing capitalism. But at the same time, you know, they're making their lives easier and they're making the lives of people that they love and all of their lives easier, you know, like...
Oh, so it's crony capitalism.
I think, you know, like, it's not the worst of capitalism.
No.
But at the end of the day, a lot of their success is due to the money that they've earned then being able to be put into other projects.
There's a way of doing capitalism that is the least destructive, but it is still ultimately destructive because it's a part of the thing, yes.
There's no winners, is there, under this economic system that we all live under?
I think there is, and I think his name is Mike.
He's doing all right, isn't he?
There are people who I would like to see as the biggest winners less, so, you know.
But I wouldn't want to see him, you know, prosper any less because I love what he does. So I don't know how I feel about it.
It's one of those things where, I think my hot take is that the stuff that he's been involved in, specifically Mike, but NoFX in general, have been a net gain.
Yeah.
For pretty much everyone concerned. However, that net gain will diminish the more he keeps fucking about.
I think I've worked out what my hot take is, okay? And if there's one thing I want you to take away from this podcast, I think it's this. And I don't think this has ever been said before, but I don't think that there's any ethical... I don't think you can consume ethically underneath capitalism.
No, that's not a hot take.
No, and I think that's new.
Yep.
I don't think Mark said that.
No.
I think I said that.
Yeah. Yep.
I think I'm going to write that in a book.
Didn't you write that when you were hitchhiking around Europe with your mate Engels?
That was it. That was me in the Crescent Pub in Salford. That was me with the beard.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
The beard years.
Your beard years were confusing, to say the least.
Although Red Marks is my drag name, so there you go.
Yes, okay, good.
But no, there's no ethical...
You're right.
My brain says, this is the phrase, and then I go to say it, and I can't say it. What is it? There's no ethical...
Consumption under capital.
That's it, there you go. You've just got it right there.
Yep.
Cool. Well, I'm glad we recorded this live.
That's why they call me Engels French. I found a couple from our Facebook. Marty Jackson on Facebook says, their albums got progressively worse over time. Not all are bad, though.
What are you saying that...
My eyebrows shot up so quickly that I didn't even log into the punk rock. I answered this under my own account. That's right. And I replied, to clarify, Ellipsis, your favourite album of theirs is Liberal Animation, which garnered two laughing responses, which Marty replied, nah, S&M maybe though. I do prefer the earlier stuff, however. Liberal is up there though.
Wow.
Yep. So how are we feeling? Liberal Animation and S&M Airlines are two of the best NoFX albums. How does that...
No. Depends who you ask.
I was asking you lot. That was the point. Yeah. I was taking a straw poll of people who weren't here. It's not going to do as much good.
As much as I don't like S&M Airways Airlines, I do...
S&M Airways is the chewing gum. Merely mentally, like, oh, yes, more daddy.
I do wish that NoFX covered Fleetwood Mac a little bit more.
Just the whole rumours.
Yeah, I think they should do the chain.
You
silence. Yeah. Absolutely no one wants to hear NoFX Fleetwood Mac.
I'd like to hear Hefe sing a COD reggae version of Thunder Only Happens When It's Raining. That'd be good. How does he get away with... That's my hot take. How on earth does Hefe get away with all of the Jamaican accents he does? No one seems to mind. They go, well, so I think it's because people there going, I don't know what sort he is, so we better be quiet. I think that's basically it. I think it's terrified white people afraid to pick up a non-white person on dodgy accents, even though he's got no right to that accent. So there you go. That's my theory. Oh, yes.
Does he tone it down at live shows these days? Or does he still do like the Jamaican voice?
He still does the voice, like when he sings Radio or Kill All the White Man and stuff like that. Yeah. So have these piqued any hot takes from the crowd?
Oh, silence!
Silence, I know.
An icy silence.
Really? That's
so long, and thanks for all the shoes. Should have been so long.
The album title?
No.
They should have called it a day after so long and thanks for all the shoes is the hot take there.
Right.
Which was the original plan, I believe.
Well, I don't know.
That's the rumour. The rumour was because it's called So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes, the rumour is they plan to release that album and that would be their last album.
But they're also big Douglas Adams fans and Melvin has got a Restaurants at the End of the Universe tattoo, apparently. So,
yeah,
it was So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, which is what the dolphins say when they leave Earth in Hitchhiker's Guide.
And my understanding was that it was called that because they got lots of free shoes on the Warped Tour.
They got shoes thrown at them.
Okay.
In the days of the...
it's still free shoes.
Yeah, it's rather...
You know, whether they be delivered by Evry or directly to your face,
That's not airwear going, oh, we forgot to send you these. Just fling them from the pit. No, it was... that was apparently...
Eating Lamb, whatever it's called here, that is still a good album.
Eating Lamb, Heavy Petting Zoo.
Yeah, it's a good album.
Mm?
Heavy Petting Zoo is a good album.
A lot of people hate it, but I think it's great.
It's a very divisive one, that. That one...
It's my least favourite, but I don't dislike it.
I don't know. I think
the two recent ones...
What's that?
Clams Have Feelings is a banger. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's on Valiant, isn't it?
It's on Valiant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Edit it out.
We absolutely will not. So,
you've got Heavy Petting Zoo on vinyl.
I've got Eating Lamb.
Oh, and someone in the audience has got Eating Lamb.
It was really handy because it was the one I wanted to listen to the least, and it was the most awkward one to play, so it worked out really well.
Mm. Does it come with a bit of mint sauce?
I mean, I did. So
that's the comedy's tomorrow, Eddie.
That's the bluest. I don't work blue. I don't have my lamb blue. I don't eat lamb. So
mint sauce is green.
Mint sauce is green. It's like a Star Trek hottie. So so long. So you would happily forego the decline.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really? That's the hottest take we've had all fucking day.
Did you hear that?
Oh yeah. Boy!
People want to fight.
That's why he's sitting on his own.
I better sit over here because once I drop my decline bomb, everyone's going to kick shit out of me.
Oh wow. So, like, not War on Errorism would be after that point as well. Yeah, not a fan. Fair enough.
It's partly just the thing about.
No. You need to say this into the microphone. You need to own this.
Yeah, sure. I think it's partly the thing. I don't think any band should go on that long. There's only so much any band has got that's great in them.
But okay. And what's your name? Sorry.
Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Any more questions?
No, I was just going to say... Oh, actually, do you not think it's fair NoFX got to hang around a bit longer because it took them so long to, you know, really get into their groove?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Okay, because they needed way more of a run-up to get to their good stuff than most bands. Is that fair?
Yeah.
That's a fair comment. Okay, fine, yeah.
Yeah, that's just when El Jefe joined.
Say again?
Going back, that's just when El Jefe joined.
Well, yes, potentially, yes. Although Actually, my hot take might be that Hefe maybe gets a bit too much credit in that respect.
Ah, okay.
I'll give you one other.
Oh!
With a couple of wrong turns, NoFX could have been as bad as Gutter Mouth. And you know the way I mean.
Yes, we know the way you mean.
There was an audible intake of breath there. That was quite nice.
Okay, well, we better just take a litmus test here. Gutter Mouth fans... Oh, okay, fine, all right. No one's going for that.
I'm going to appear really uneducated. I'm not actually familiar with Guttermouth. Please educate me on the ways of Guttermouth.
They are a sort of a fat sounding, they're epi-fat kind of band from the 90s, but
they're edgy boys.
They're a bit like the Mac Lads.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They were like the skate punk Mac Lads. in that there was always a certain...
So, like, he'll do an ollie and then call you the F-slur?
Yeah, yeah. But with us... Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
They'll be like, yo, what's going on in here? This place is faggical. That's what they'll say. But they'll do it with, like... They'll do it with sort of a level of ironic detachment. Like, oh, come on, guys. you know, that kind of thing. So,
If you're wearing rollerblades...
Yeah.
Literally.
If you're wearing rollerblades. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So they're very fast. and very aggressive, and they said bad things for laughs.
I think going back to what you just said about, you know, like El Jefe getting too much credit around that point.
No,
I think that's an interesting.
I think that he gets all of the credit.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And the idea that the others didn't get better after 10 years of playing it is a bit weird because...
Yeah. He joins on the Longest Line EP.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, like, I think that's a bit of a step forward for them. Mm. But, like, it's the songwriting on there as well that has improved, and I don't think that's down to
And he didn't play the bass on The Death of John Smith. He didn't, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So that's my one. Which people are nodding at in a sort of, oh, yes, that is a good point, but not really getting excited about, so worthless for the podcast. I think...
A librarian's agreement.
My hot take, Jefe's not Mexican, he's from Ipswich. There you go, that's my hot... There we go, but just needed to remind everyone we had a live audience. He's not. He's from where he is. So, yeah. So, yeah, so I'm just baffled that you'd be like, oh, no, I'll live without the decline.
Ooh,
that's insane.
I've thought of another hot take.
Good. We're going to have one last hot take from Red. Then we've got sort of thank yous and other stuff to do because we're getting close to the end.
Obviously, big NoFX fan. NoFX have got a new album.
By this time, you have to start with big NoFX fan. Oh, mate. You sound like you're calling into your own podcast. Hello, Ian Red, big NoFX fan.
I'm not used to being in a room full of people who know what NoFX is.
I
normally have to give context for every sentence that I discuss about them. But basically...
You have to keep in mind, Red and I both have long-term partners, neither of whom enjoy NoFX in the slightest.
Like, quite much in the negative, I think,
To a point where there's not even any humour about it. It's just straight up, I do not want this.
Look, I'm getting married to someone who is a fan of musical theatre. I don't think that NoFX
that is not me, by the way. That is someone else. I'm not announcing it now. Yeah.
But NoFX have got a new album on the way. They've released a single from it. The single's pretty good. Like, would recommend having a look at the...
I'm a Rat.
Yeah. The video's on YouTube. Pretty interesting. That song's a cover.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? I thought it was a song that... Because I know they've previously recorded it because it's been released
It was on Strung Out.
Strung Out.
I know High Standard recorded a version of it.
Did they do it first?
Yeah, it was just after the drummer died, they released it. But I think it was the drummer he'd already recorded it before it was released.
This is so interesting.
We're going to have to repeat this for
the listeners because we're not mic'd up at the back. But that's a really, really interesting point. So apparently, I'm a Rat, the new NoFX single, is not a NoFX original. It's a cover by High Standard, the band from Japan, whose drummer passed away.
Yes, a few years ago. I don't know if it's a NoFX song that High Standard covered first.
It does sound like a Fat Mike song.
Because they do... It's also written in English, which High Standard didn't always do. They did sometimes, mine. But so I don't... So I don't know. You're right. You're absolutely correct.
Says they gave it to him.
Oh, there we go. We've been absolutely.
Dictionary Corner have been on it. And,
we've got punk rock Susie Dent down.
Actually, you could have also had written by all songs by High Standard, except I'm a Rat. So yes, you're quite right there. Yes, thank you. And I'm just going to show Red that I had I'm a Rat there. Okay, good.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
But no, thank you so much for that. That's really interesting.
But yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
And that actually makes my hot take even more interesting because I do think that's a really good single and that single has made me question my hot take. But my hot take is I'm not looking forward to the album, half album. I didn't enjoy single album. I didn't enjoy double album. So why would I?
Do you know what?
Enjoy half
I can make you look forward to it less.
Go on.
One of the songs is one of the Cokey the Clown album songs.
For fuck's sake!
I mean, I'm beginning to warm to the end it after Slap Fats.
Phallus was right.
On balance, I'm beginning to see that there is more More credit to that. So, no, you know.
Apparently, we should have snapped our fingers after Slap Fats.
Straight after it, yeah.
We would have ended on a peak.
Oh no, Mike has found the drugs and S&M stones. Ah! More powerful than ever. Good. Yes, we are. We're going to draw this to a close because we've got a few things that we want to say. Firstly, do stick around for the Midlife Punk podcast.
Absolutely.
That's going to be happening. We're going to be having Punkiversity Challenge. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Doesn't that sound like the best way to spend a Friday at Manchester Punk Festival? Look,
you've stop got reminding weekend, them where they are.
You've got a weekend of bands to get sweaty and drunk at. But come on, who wants to sit around and watch Punk Rock University Challenge?
Sweaty and drunk at this.
Absolutely, you can.
Just keep in mind, this is the best you're going to feel all weekend. You might as well relish it just a little bit because you know it's going to be rough.
Leeds French. Just really wanted to do that.
Yeah, we're good. It's better than Warrington French, which is what my memories say and my degree. Anyway, I've got a degree. Shouldn't have reminded myself about that. So, we, Punk Rock Elite, along with Midlife Punk Podcast, we are in the midst of, we're actually receiving the tracks now. We are doing a tribute album to Punk and Droblick. One of the ones that's okay.
One of the ones that's okay.
Before Slap Fat, so it may pass. Okay. One of the more universally accepted NoFX albums, which because it's 30 years, since that came out. and so it's been 30 years since that came out, and we have contacted so many bands, and a lot of them got back to us, and we are in the midst of receiving the tracks that they have recorded for this tribute. Mm-hmm. It will be coming out at some point in the summer. We know that it definitely will be digital. We hope that there will be some physical. It would be a shame not to have a 90s album with CD release. That would be good. Vinyl, because, you know, we're at Manchester Punk Festival, where everyone's walking around going, I only listen to stuff on vinyl now. Why? Because I'm 40. Anyway. That's fucking why. It was in my vinyl collection, or I have kids, and fuck kids. So, you shouldn't do that. I've lost my train of thought because you brought nonsense into it. Right, anyway, we have got bands that you can see this weekend are on there. We've got bands like we've got Manchester's own Blags, we've got Latchkey Kids, we have got our band, which doesn't really exist, but it's just us and the Midlife Punk people. I've gone blank. We've got No Escape, we've got the Punk Cellist, we've got Punk Rockettes, we've got
Authority
Zero.
We've got Zero Austerity
Cost.
Dogs.
Austerity Dogs and Zero Cost. You've become Authority Zero in your mind. Fair enough.
That is it, isn't
it? Yeah,
that's what my brain's done.
That's what you've done, precisely that. No Escape, we've got Pat from The Decline, we've got all sorts of wonderful things going on. There'll be more, we'll announce them as they come out. And so follow us on the Instagrams and things like that, and you'll see when this comes out. We've heard a lot of the Get the Fuck Out of Dodge, them as well. We've heard lots of people send us their stuff, and it's sounding absolutely brilliant, so we'd love people to get on that. If you've enjoyed the show and you want to hear more, we've got like over 50 episodes from the last year of us doing this that you can listen to at your leisure. If you didn't enjoy it, tell someone you hate. They'll get through at least half of one. That's fine for our metrics. We're happy with that. We have got stickers for free. We've got badges for a quid. We've got flyers, and you can enjoy them afterwards. People listening at home, if you really want a badge, get in touch. We'll find a way of sending them to you and all that kind of stuff. Thanks, Red.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you to our incredibly elite Punk Rock Elite audience. Absolutely. Here in San Juan.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We will see you all later. Do you have anything you want to say, Ray?
Yeah, tomorrow, stand-up comedy here in San Juan. It starts at 3:30. It runs till 6:30. We've got some of the best stand-up comics from across the UK. Mm-hmm. All of them love punk rock. We're really lucky with the lineup that we've got this year. Please get down. Headlined by Bethany Black tomorrow. Woo. Then headlined by Amy Gledhill on Sunday. It's going to be exceptional.
TV's Amy Gledhill.
If you've got a bit of a sore head, it's the best place to hang out and sort of nurse yourself back to health before the fantastic bands in the evening.
It's basically it's the punk rock equivalent of a short rest. You'll get one of your spells
punk rock siesta.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you ever so much, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We love you. Take care.
See you soon. Thank you. Good night. Woo! Thank you, Modesto.
I think the woke establishment are going to be quaking in their boots with all of the hot takes that were just flying around.
Absolutely. Those takes were positively steaming.
Oh, I can't walk because a bit of shrapnel off a truth bomb has gone right in my arse. That's what happens. The survivors from the hot take war.
We've all been marked safe from the hot takes.
Safe, but not the same. Safe, but changed. That's what's happened here. Yeah, interesting. So, yeah, call it after slap fats. Never do any no effects ever again. That was a hot one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like, they didn't disappoint. Like, shout out to the audience. We had a great audience in for the recording. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate all of, like, the love and energy they brought to the recording. And, like, absolutely. You know, just really, really great suggestions.
Yes, everyone was keen to get involved. Yes, I'm a rat gate.
Yeah, we've been corrected on our own podcast, and fair play, you know, like, well, absolutely fair play.
Well, the thing is that I knew that it was a cover. Oh, no, sorry, I knew that it wasn't a cover.
Right.
I knew that High Standard had recorded a version of it because mm-hmm. Mike does weird things like tell bands to do covers.
Sure.
Like the Mad Caddies Punk Rock Steady album was pretty much devised by Mike. He said, no, you should do reggae covers of punk songs and stuff like that. He's sort of quite Svengali about it. But mm-hmm. So High Standard recorded it. And it's really strange because if you look at the lyrics, it's like, no, this is really, really clearly about Mike. It's like about himself.
Yeah.
And not that I know the members of High Standard at all, really. So I don't know what their personalities are like. But
I thought that we Googled it during the episode. And
we did, yeah. High Standard covered it before NoFX released it.
Oh, okay, but they didn't write it.
No. It's a Mike song. I think we established this in the episode. You might have just forgotten since then. But no, it was written by Mike. He then said High Standard should record this because then he did a version of it for Strung Out, the Quintet album. We're retreading stuff that you've already listened to, but just for clarification, because it got a bit chaotic because we were all like, what? Because people kept in walking and going, no, it's a High Standard song. No. So it was all a bit dramatic. And then finally it was released, it was released as a single. And it will be on the half album EP.
Isn't it weird though? Like, because I mean, like I've already said, and I said in the episode as well, I'm not particularly looking forward to half album. But when like your first single off of it is something that's already been released and covered in two separate occasions previously, it doesn't feel like a very exciting announcement. Like I would choose another song as your lead single if it's already been released.
It's a bit like Ford saying, we're releasing a new car. Mm-hmm. It's the old one, but red. It's like, oh, so what is it? What the different?
But you can already get these in Taiwan, you know?
Yeah, yes. All right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah. So, is it a different engine capacity? Nope. Probably got different seats or something, you know. They've got different No. It's precisely the same. It's just we've painted it red. Why aren't you pleased? It is weird, isn't it? It's a very, very odd one. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about any of that. But, you know, is what it is. I think, to be honest, I think I've decided to treat everything from sort of single album onwards as just sort of unearthed rarities rather than new releases.
I think that is exactly how you should approach it all.
It's really making everything feel quite a lot more acceptable. Like, oh yeah, I can see why they didn't put this as like a main thing, but if they did like another 45, 46 and sort of you framed it in that way. Mm-hmm. It's all about perspective. What I'm doing here is perspective. It's manifesting. But if all those songs came out on like 45, 46 style release,
yes,
you'd be like, huh, weird. Oh, well,
Yeah, I
that's
agree.
All right. That one, that one's quite good actually. And you might, and it might be an appreciation thing, or like, oh, can you believe they did a weird version of this? You go, oh yeah, they did, yeah. So I don't know. Again, bands are allowed to release precisely what they want to release, and we're allowed to say, oh, yeah, you know, that's fine, that's fine. You know, people have been saying this about like Alkaline Trio, that Blood, Hair and Eyeballs album. People who've like been going, nah, Alkaline Trio sort of really, you know, they've dropped the ball, they've dropped the ball. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, hello, what's this? I feel like it's really vintage Alk 3. So, you know, it could happen there. You know, they could release, hopefully, now we've got half album. Maybe the album period will have a nice little line.
I hope so. I mean, if he does quarter album, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to complain on this podcast. I won't do anything useful.
I mean, to be honest, we need the clicks. So but that's the problem. Whenever we don't like something, people enjoy it a lot more than when we go, fucking hell, Slapfast is good, isn't it? Oh my God, that is a good album, that. No one's interested. When we sat there, I went, God, we're still talking about Heavy Petting Zoo, want to stab my eyes. And everyone was like, I love that episode, mate. I thought that was brilliant. I love the way you enjoyed nothing. Is Heavy Petting Zoo still the least fun we've had with an album?
I think that in retrospect, we probably enjoyed it more than Single and Double. Potentially.
Maybe.
We should probably compare them. We could do an episode like where we go back and compare them because, you know, like an episode on
three records.
On the bad NoFX records. And we can decide which one is definitively
the worst. Yeah,
no, but
the thing is that one of our favourite ones is considered one of the bad ones. So, you know, first ditch effort. Like when we asked everyone at MPF, what about first ditch effort? And they were all like, meh.
Coaster as well. Yeah. Like, people don't like my favourite.
No. I think the thing people enjoyed the most was when I read out the names of the Reddit users. I think that was, which is always funny to do. Because the thing is Reddit is so weird because you can read something really inflammatory and you go, ugh, that's awful. And you can get a visceral response. And then you see that it was written by Willy Bum Poo Poo. And you're like, oh, I don't really, oh, I'm not bothered anymore now. It's like, okay, fine. It's not bothered, are you? So that's something that really does. If all politicians or, you know, political pundits had to have a stupid infantilized name, maybe it would make discourse a little more sensible. Who knows?
I think you're onto something because I think a lot of the time these days there'll be news articles being like, "Oh, this has been said on Twitter," and it'll be like, "Yeah, sure," but someone's just, you know, like some random has just tweeted, you know, they don't like something, and suddenly that's news. But I think that news readers should be forced to read out their Twitter handles as well.
Precisely the same precisely the same thought process. Yeah.
Yeah.
When Nunchuck Master 69 69 69
agrees with JK Rowling. It suddenly puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
And you know what? Until a few years ago, Nunchuck Master 69 69 69 did not agree with JK Rowling, but now very much on board. Yeah. He agrees with it in between practicing his spin kicks. Yeah, that's actually a very good idea. Well, do you have anything coming up in the soons?
Just life, you know.
Sure.
Getting back to reality following the fantastic weekend of Manchester Punk Festival.
Yes. So, really, you know,
just getting back to normal.
Oh, I'm at Trapdoor Comedy on Wednesday.
Yes, on April the 10th.
Yes, 2 days after the release. So there we go. I'm just doing a short spot.
In Manchester, headlined by the fabulous Rob Rouse. It's a great comedy club. Do get yourselves down.
I didn't know Rob was on. Love Rob. Yeah, not much else going on. That's fine. Or not much sort of... not much for you guys to concern yourself with. Yeah, wouldn't be worth your while coming to a lot of these gigs I've got coming up soon, but that's only because I imagine you live far away. thanks to everybody who came to MPF, who we bumped into, who we saw, all the bands, because I did not hear a single report of a shit band.
No, absolutely.
And normally, people love that. Mate, you will not believe who I saw. They were shit. You know, everyone loves that. We're, you know, that elitist bit of punk lives in all of us. We can't help it. We do our best, but it still lives there. But that's just how good Manchester Punk Festival is at curating stellar lineups every single time.
Absolutely.
You get big variety. You get like hardcore. You get sort of odd garage sort of Hivesy style punk bands. You get ska. You get also, you know, you really run the full gamut of all of that stuff. And if you ever get the opportunity, go, because you won't regret it. It's great. It's in a city. All the venues have got roofs. It just makes my 40-year-old heart feel good. So thank you, Red. See you next time.
Yeah, see you next time.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Punk Rock Elite. It was a Pick Scraped and Fruitcake co-production by Eddie French and Red Redmond. If you're not following us on Instagram or subscribe to the podcast, please do. The main theme and production was done by Eddie French. Please contact us at punkrockelitepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you.